Father, I thank you for the blood. I really mean this. It covers a multitude of sins. God, I thank you for the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus.
Yes.
That every knee will bow, every tongue will confess,
yes,
great or small. I thank you for the word, because your word will not return to you void. It will accomplish what you want it to do.
Yes.
Let your word accomplish tonight what you desire. God, if you only change one person, Lord, I give you praise. God, I thank you, and I give you praise and honor that you would save a wretch like me. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. I have three scriptures that I want to read from tonight. I want to preach or talk or preach or whatever I do sometimes on a worm that became a prince. How God takes men that are spiritual maggots. I know that's not a really pretty metaphor, but it is what it is. Worms are a part of life. And God takes men and women that are, well, that have wallowed in the dirt of sin and unbelief, and changes them. Brings them out of the dirt. Brings them out of their mess. Brings them out of their muck and their mire. And gives them hope. If you have your Bibles, we want to read three places. Isaiah 41:14. I'll give you time to get to these places. Isaiah 41:14. Now, I'm going to be reading out of the ESV version. I really like it. That's what I preach out most of at home. And if you read in King James, then you will get thou, if thou couldest, thou shouldest, thou wouldest. And you'll understand the King James. So we're reading. And then we're going to go to Genesis 32. But we'll get there in a minute. Isaiah 41:14. Fear not, you worm, Jacob, and men of Israel. I am the one who helps you, declares the Lord. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Read it again. Need to listen to it. Fear not, you worm, Jacob, and you men of Israel. I am the Lord who helps you. I like that. Let me stop. I've heard it said a lot, and please don't say amen, just because I'll mess you up and you'll get mad at me, okay? I've heard a lot, the Lord helps those who help themselves. No, He doesn't. If you can help yourself, you don't need Him. Thank you, ma'am. I got an okay from the pastor's wife. I'm in good favor so far. God doesn't help those who help themselves. He helps those that are willing to cry out and confess, I can't do it. Declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Genesis 32, told you we'd take time. There's Genesis 32, 28. Genesis 32, verse 28. Got it? Say amen. We're getting there. If you're getting there, say amen. There we go. Then he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. And I like this. For you have strived with God and with man and have prevailed. Did you get it? Got a name change. I'm no longer Jacob. I am now Israel. I tell you what, that sounds better, doesn't it?
Amen.
Anyway, if your name's Jacob, it's okay, all right? That's my son-in-law's name. Hebrews 11:21. Hebrews 11:21. Give you a minute. This guy's fast. They're fast back there, so hey, you can read it here in just a second. Got it? Hebrews 11:21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph, bowing and worshiping over the head of his staff. Read it one more time. You need to hear it. Jacob, by faith, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing over his staff or leaning on his staff. I think King James says leaning. Leaning over his staff, he worshiped. Now, if you've listened to the three scriptures, you hear about a man that starts off with a worm. That's what God calls him. You hear a man that gets a name change, and you hear of a man that worships. Yes. So that I hope that's where we're going tonight. If you ever heard the old saying or the kid thing, if you kiss a frog, you'll get warts. Now, if you kiss a frog, you get a prince. That's not true. I've never kissed a frog, but I don't believe it. And I'm not talking about that kind of prince tonight either. A good, godly kind of prince and everything. I'm talking about a man first that was nothing. Yes. His name tells the character of what kind of person he was. You see, I am convinced that God sees something in you and me that we don't see in ourselves. God does not love you because of who you are. God loves you because of who He can make you. Well, amen. It said, for God so loved the world that He gave. In other words, God said, I made you and I love you and I'm going to do something about it. But you see, when God touches a person, your life has to change. Billy, right? We're sitting there and he leans over to me. He said, I had a dream several years ago. You don't mind me sharing it, do you? It's a cool dream. He said, I had a dream, and he said, in my dream, I was wretched. He said, I looked horrible. I just looked hideous. I was wretched. And said, in the other part of the dream, there I was stumbling around like I couldn't walk. And he said, I thought, God, what is this? And he said, the Lord told him not long ago, that dream was how you were. And the stumbling around is how you are now. You used to be wretched, but I gave you new life, and you're a new creature in me. And new creatures stumble around sometimes, but I got good news. God knows what He's going to make out of each and every one of us. It's up for us to keep going forward and keep trusting God.
Yes.
Well, hello, how you doing? The important thing that I'd like to make a statement here about Jacob is I would have never hired him to be one of my employees. If he was the last guy on the planet, I wouldn't have hired him. You're looking at me funny. Well, it's a bad choice. Look. God's. I'm going to read something because this is. I got to stay with what God's given me. Okay, God tells him, "I'm going to separate you. I'm going to change you." But here's what the man Jacob really looks like. By the way, here's what his name means. It means supplanter, which means deceiver. His name means heel snatcher, because he grabbed his brother's heel on the way out. His name also means, ready for this one? If you look at it, it means liar. Means someone not capable of telling the truth. And to be a liar, ready for this? You have to be someone capable of not willing to receive the truth.
Yes.
You ever seen people that weren't willing to receive the truth about themselves? You ever had friends that have just told you this? Well, just tell me the truth. You don't want me to. Because if you do, if I do, you won't like me anymore. Huh? Now, I was told by Maggie that I couldn't pick on her, but I'm going to pick on her here. I mean, you become like Maggie. Don't ask her to tell you the truth. I told her one day, I said, tell me the truth. She said, here it comes. I'm like, oh, God. You know? Amen. Said the third thing, the fourth thing, he was a deceiver. Everybody he come in contact with, he deceived. He deceived his brother of his birthright. He tricked his brother. Now, I don't know that his brother Esau, which the book of Hebrews calls him a profane man. And the word profane in the King James means a man that doesn't really care much about anything but themselves. Now, we don't have any people in here like that. They're looking at you. It's all about me. It's all about mine. You know? Honey, why did you buy that? Well, why'd you buy this? Why'd you do that? Because it's all about them. I figured I'd mess with you for a few minutes because I know human nature. Human nature will take care of itself. And Esau was the kind of man that took care of himself. He was self-centered. By the way, he got it honestly. The Bible said that his father loved him. But his mother, Rebekah, loved Jacob. There was conflict in this family. And this son, Esau, I know you say, well, you're on Jacob, but I got to touch on Esau for a minute. Because this son, Esau, he took care of his dad. Now, the Bible said that he was redheaded, and when he came out, he was very burly. In other words, he was like a wool rug. That's how he came out. And he was a man's man. He hunted, he fished. I think his name was Chuck Surface. And by the way, happy Pastor Appreciation Day. I should have done that for you this morning, but I'm sorry. Happy Appreciation, you know. Happy Crucifixion Day. Anyway, moving right along. He was a hunter, but he did something for his father. He satisfied his father's flesh by feeding him venison. Undoubtedly, he was a great cook. He was a great killer. He was a great cook. He knew how to prepare it. He knew how to do it, and Daddy liked it. Mother, on the other hand, loved Jacob. Matter of fact, you ready for this? You talk about a mama's boy? He was 70 years old before he had his first date. And you think you waited a long time. Got anybody over 70? You reluctantly put your hand down. You're not over 70. Got a young guy back there going, I'm over 70. You might feel like you're over 70. How's that? Okay, we'll go there. If you're over 70, say you're 72, you get to date. Because mama will now let you. But mama did more than that. She taught him how to be a liar. She taught him how to be a con artist. You say, no, wait a minute, you're talking about biblical characters that are in the Word of God. Just because a person's name is in the Holy Writ doesn't make them super beings.
That's right.
I think so many times when we read the Scripture about these people, this is what we think. We think that there were super people. They were people like me and you. You see, therein lies our problem. We don't think God can use us or change us or move in our lives like He did in the Bible. Thank you. I appreciate that one. You know why? It's because we don't believe, ready for this one, we're living in the Bible. We've detached ourselves and said we're not living in Bible. But we're living in Bible just as much as they were living in Bible. Ready for Bible? Great falling away. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Would you say indifferent? Would you say lifestyles that have gone crazy? Hello? Talk to me. Would you say a world in chaos? Would you say a world filled with hate? Would you talk about religions or say religions that are full of hate? Hello? If you read your Bible, you're living in the Bible. And you forgot that, didn't you? You just thought you were living in good old Salida, Colorado, USA. Amen. But you're living in good old Salida, Colorado, USA, Bible time.
Amen.
And you have the same opportunity in this Bible time to be a man or a woman of God that they were. But you will have to handle some issues in your life like they did. Because each one of them had a challenge in their life. Each one of them had a problem. Each one of them had something they had to get over.
That's right.
Each one had something they had to pray through about. And some of them had to pray through about it every day of their life. Samson, like women, he had to pray every day of his life. He kept going across the border. He did. David had issues. Still a man after God's own heart. Solomon's got problems. Jeremiah went through depression. Read the book. I mean, this guy has breakdowns at times. I've come to find out something about prophets. They're bipolar. Even in the Bible. They're up one day, down the next. Happy, crying, sad. Glory. That's how they are. They're crazy people. I'm glad I'm not one. Well, read your Bible.
That's right.
These people had issues. Some of them are taught. Mama teaches any of these things. Daddy teaches Esau. This is a family messed up. This is a boy that knows nothing more than to crawl around and be a worm when it comes to deceiving his brother. His mother's in the middle. She goes and gets a lamb or a goat and shears it and pastes the skin or the wool on the boy and leaves the goat or the lamb smell on. She cooks a bowl of porridge. And to a blind old man is a bowl of porridge presented by, ready for this, a deceiving wife.
Yep.
Hang out with me. You say, where are you going with this? I'm going to healing. I mean, where else to go in this story but to healing?
Yes.
I mean, anywhere else to go. This story doesn't go down. This story goes up. A mother that teaches him to lie, a mother that teaches him to deceive, she sends him in to his blind daddy with a bowl of porridge, venison, and he presents it to him, and daddy feels the boy, smells the boy, and says, you feel a little different, you smell a little different, but I believe you're my son, and I'm ready for this. This is what fathers used to do. Put his hand on him and blessed him. What did he bless him with? He blessed him with the birthright of Israel.
Yes.
His name wasn't Israel. He knew nothing about Israel, but he was going to become Israel. He blessed him, God help me. He blessed him with the promise of his future.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Got to hold on here for a second. Don't get too spiritual, all right? He blessed a liar. He blessed a deceiver. He blessed a man that had only one thing in his life, and that was him. If Esau was all about himself, Jacob was more about himself. But Jacob's lying and his deception doesn't stop there. He goes over to his uncle Laban and he deceives his uncle and his uncle gets mad at him. But Jacob takes a green stick. Now, I don't know how he did this, but undoubtedly there was something in that stick that he drove down in that water. And he made all the cows drink of the water after him and Laban had made a covenant. Hold on. A liar, a deceiver, made a covenant. Say it with me. A liar, a deceiver, made a covenant. Huh? Need a lawyer for this one, don't we? We do. He causes all the cows to drink, and he makes a covenant that rings belong to one of them and plain belong to the other. And at the end of the season, they got what they made covenant over. And guess who got the most? Hello? The liar and the deceiver got the better.
That's right.
Oh, hold on. I think I'm going to sit down here for a second because you're looking at me funny. You're looking at me like some of us have never lied to God. You're looking at me like some of us have never deceived anybody else. You're looking at me like some of us have never sold a person a car. And when they drove off, you said, I'm glad I got rid of that thing.
Amen.
Oh, I'm just hanging out here for a second. Oh, there's old in there.
Yeah.
You're looking at me funny. Do you understand that God had a plan for an individual that so far refused to submit to what he wanted? He gets in deeper trouble. He gets a woman he don't want. Huh? When he goes into his tent, he goes, what are you doing here? Like, Daddy gave you that. He goes, I don't want you. Goes back, fixes the thing. I mean, the guy must have really been lovesick. You got people that are crazy. He got problems. And he's got problems. But things get worse. You know, things have to get worse sometimes before they get better.
Yes, amen.
Now, hold on. I got to say this because I feel like God gave me this for us tonight, okay? I know that the first time I was here, you said I was what? Crazy or trouble or whatever? You're right. God, scary. I don't know that I'm as scary as I used to be. I tried not to be scary then. I like crazy a little bit better than I do scary, you know? Then if I could, I'd be scary enough tonight to convince some of us that we're not so far away from God's blessing. Despite who you are. Despite where you're at. Despite what you said before you came in the church, whether you smoked a joint, took a shot, eat some Quaaludes so you can get through this and go, I don't care what he say. You know? Well, at least you're laughing at me now. I'm not so scary right now. Hold on. God's got a plan for you. You're just like Jacob. I'm just like Jacob. I run from God sometimes. And God has to corral me in. God has to bring us. You see, Jacob was a wrestling man. I mean, he was a wrestler. I mean, he could have took on Hulk Hogan, Sting, or whoever. I don't know those crazy things. All I know is that a couple of nights, or once or two, every other month or so, I got a boy in my church that's handicapped and he has to lay in a bed all the time. And we have a party at his house and Ricky watches WrestleMania. And I ask him all the time who's going to win. And he tells me the same guy is going to win over and over. And I couldn't tell you the guy's name to save my life right now. But I'm there with Ricky and every now and then I watch wrestling. Jacob could have beat them all. Because if you listen to the scripture that I read to you a while ago, the Bible said God asked him a question. What is your name? Where did he ask him the question at? At the end of a wrestling match. Did you get what God said to him? That you have prevailed, the King James said. With man. Can we stop there and do the man part just for a second? Because you see his brother, Esau, remember the guy he ripped off? Was coming to kill him. He sent word. Matter of fact, he said, the next time I see my brother, I will slay him. Or I will kill him. I will get rid of him for what he did to me. So Esau is coming. Jacob is in a place with God that he don't know what's about to happen. When Esau is coming, let me stick with the man, because he said he prevailed with man. And sometimes you've got to prevail with people before you can prevail with God. He heard that Esau was coming, and he made a decision that he was going to do something. He sent Esau a peace offering. You ever read the Bible? Maybe once or twice? You know that it says that when you go to the altar, if you have something against, if a brother or you have an altar or a brother has one, leave your gift at the altar and go to your brother, usually brother, and tell your brother, I am sorry what I said about you. I like that shirt after all, the more I look at it. She did a good job picking it out. You with me? And it says, while I'm making peace with him, that God will receive my gift. I don't have to go back to the altar. While I'm making peace with him, God is taking my gift. Read the Bible, it's in there, I promise you. In God's Word, he says, sometimes you've got to prevail with man. Sometimes you've got to fix things with men. Amen. Some of you need to listen to this because, you know, I just feel like I'm back where I was this morning about fixing things with people.
Come on.
They just apologize to me. No, you go apologize to them. I didn't do nothing. Yeah, you did. When you said you didn't do nothing. You ready? You copped a bad attitude. You limited God from working in your life.
Yes.
You limited God from creating a miracle because you're waiting on somebody else to do something to you that you need to go ahead and do yourself.
Amen.
Can I stand here for a minute?
Yeah. I hope I'm getting scary.
God made me scary again. You say, what's scary? Is that God lets you read the hearts and minds of men and women that you're preaching to, and sometimes he lights them up like neon.
Yes.
And you just know where they're at.
That's right.
I feel like the stewardess on an airplane right now. You know, the stewardess gets the thing out, nobody's looking at her, you know? They're looking down at their phones and everything else. And she's putting the thing on around her neck. Nobody's paying attention to her. She puts the belt around her and tells the light will flash and all that stuff. She puts her stuff up. And only time they pay attention to her is when she's coming down the aisle with refreshments. And that's about how I feel right now. I feel like a lot of you turned me off and you're not paying attention. That's okay. God's got our number.
Yes, he does.
Amen.
So he sends a gift to his man, his brother, trying to fix things with man, to prevail with man. But he has an escape plan. His escape plan was this. If my brother doesn't accept the gift, I will run.
I almost want to have black church here for a second.
Well, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know? Because sometimes if we can't fix it, we want to run.
Yes, we do.
And then that's where you have to prevail with God. That's where God steps in.
Right.
That's where you're left alone. Say, leave me alone. Say it. Leave me alone. Now, I'm going to tell you, you didn't say nothing bad there. You just ask God to take you to a place where you're alone so he can get to you. Because we're busy. We're busy. I mean, we've got microwaves. We're busy. My daughter could not. I just want to preach to y'all tonight because y'all are smiling, okay? My daughter could not believe it one time when I told her I was raised without a cell phone. I was raised without cable TV. I was the kid that my dad sent out in the rain and the snow, and I would hold the pole and I would turn the antenna and he'd go, stop right there. And I'd let go of the pole. and it would go fuzzy, and he would go, "You're moving." No, I just let go of the pole. I put my hand back on the pole, the picture would come back. And if he had had his way, I'd have still been holding the pole. She couldn't believe that I didn't have a microwave. I think I was 16 or 17 before I saw my first microwave. Fried a cockroach in it, just see if it worked. It was okay. I wouldn't do it now. Fry two. Anyway, you know, we always lost myself on the cockroach. You know, and just because things didn't happen in my life didn't mean things weren't going to evolve or things weren't going to change to bring us to the place where we're at, that now we've got everything that we want, that we're so busy. Mm-hmm. Hold on. The Mayberry lifestyle is gone.
That's right.
Yes.
It's gone. The Green Acres is gone. The Beverly Hillbilly lifestyle is gone. We are high tech. We sit around with cell phones and look on our screens while we're sitting at the restaurant, and we never talk to each other anymore. Hang out with me. We're busy. We've got our Bible. I like, she pulled up her Bible app and was able to outrun everybody, you know. And I like that because I got that stuff. And we got our Bible right handy access, and we're not reading it.
That's right.
We're watching YouTube and Facebook. Mm-hmm. Just stay here and be mean. Mm-hmm. We're doing all of that, and we're wondering why we're not seeing demonstrations. I had a guy tell me recently, I pastor a healing church. I said, no. How many people get healed? Well, not that many. You don't pastor a healing church. I had a guy tell me that I pastor a word church. I said, how many, are you people growing? No, we've really gone down here lately. I had somebody tell me, I pastor a church that has people that prosper. How many people do you have that prosper? Well, I got one guy that really, really makes good money. You don't have a prosperity church then. Hold on a second.
Come on.
If you want that to happen, then ask God to give you an isolated place.
Yes.
Where He takes you and puts you in a place, ready for this? Where you can't run. It just becomes you and God. When God starts showing up, can I just breathe for a second? I'm like, I got a bunch of stuff running into me, and I'm going, I got all these notes and stuff, and I'm a gazillion miles, if there's a word, I'm a gazillion miles away from those things right now. I just feel God, okay? I feel like God's going, yeah. I feel like a bagpipe. You know? If you want God in your life to show up and reveal Himself, then you're going to have to experience a relationship where you can't run anymore. You can't make excuses anymore. And where you generally find yourself in a mess.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, did I tell you that he had Laban behind him? And that he had his brother in front of him?
That's right.
And he's in a pickle. He's in a mess. And the Bible said, and he was left alone. And he was left alone. Now, I don't like being left alone. I like the hotel I'm in. I can handle it for a while. I bummed a car off of somebody. Found out they had a couple, and I just sat out on the car. They said, "What? I've been praying about that, and I'm going to let you drive one of my cars. But I got to talk to you first." I was like, "Okay, I got a car. I'm able to go. I don't have to wait on anybody. They're kind to me. He's kind to me. But I like my freedom too. I like being alone." You say, "You're supposed to be talking about being alone." I like being alone. But being alone gets lonely.
Yes, right.
Until God shows up.